Greetings, listeners. You're listening to Colourful online and on DAB. A very warm welcome from me, Kenneth Tharp. I'm delighted to be back on Colourful in this second interview related to the African Concert Series. Before I introduce you to my special guest, let me tell you just a little bit about the African Concert Series. The world's first ever African Concert Series was launched in 2019 by the award-winning Nigerian-Romanian pianist Rebecca Amordio, featuring 10 monthly concerts in various venues, including the October Gallery and the Africa Centre. Described by the BBC World Service as the African art music makes a comeback, the programme of the series reflects the depth and diversity of what is known as African art music, the richly diverse genre of music which forms a bridge between Western classical music and traditional African music. I'm pleased to say that in 2021, the African Concert Series has returned, and as former director of the Africa Centre, I'm also very pleased to say that the Africa Centre is supporting this forthcoming series. The concerts are being streamed from the centre via the African Concert Series Facebook page and YouTube channels. My next guest is the eldest of five children from Nigerian and Irish parents. As a schoolgirl, she thought she was destined to become a champion sprinter before a devastating knee injury forced her onto a different pathway of classical music. Despite her slightness of stature, she took up the double bass and actively pursued a career in music. My guest now enjoys an international life as a classical double bassist and has now gained a reputation as one of the finest exponents of her instrument today. She is a professor of double bass at the Royal Academy of Music. She is also the founder, artistic and executive director of Chineke Foundation, whose mission is championing change and celebrating diversity in classical music. She broadcasts regularly for the BBC and Classic FM and is featured on Desert Island Discs and the 2020 BBC documentary Being Beethoven. She was awarded an MBE in 2001 and an OBE in 2017 for services to music. She won the Commonwealth Cultural Enterprise Award, the Creative Industries Award, the Top 10 BBC Women in Music, and she has been made an Honorary Doctor of Music at both Chichester and the Open University. Her full list of awards and accolades is too numerous to mention. She was voted onto the power list of Britain's 100 most influential black people in 2019 and 2020, and is included in the recent 2020 book of 100 Great Brits. On a daily basis, she advocates the importance of music in everyone's lives. I'm delighted to welcome on air the wonderful Chichi Nwanoku. Hello, Chichi.
Hi, Kenneth, and thank you for that lovely introduction.
Well, it's a pleasure. And I do have to declare to listeners, I do have a vested interest in that I'm a trustee of Chichi's organisation, Chineke Foundation, and have been not only that, but I suppose one of, I'd like to think of myself as a serious groupie as well, having followed, been at the inaugural concert and followed the orchestra around the country, been to Albra, been to the Albert Hall, but as well as to Italy and to New York even. So I've seen a lot. Gigi, before we get stuck into it, this is not going to be your first concert on the African Concert Series, but before we get stuck into that, I just want to ask you, I know that this last year has been such a year for everybody, and I know you've been incredibly busy in that year. Really, I suppose my question is, what has been perhaps one of the most noticeable impacts of the last year on music, on classical music, and on the work that you do with the Chineke Foundation?
I think, well, the most obvious impact, effect is the sort of sad state of affairs that have meant no concerts. The live concerts have all been cancelled. And then towards the end of 2020, we managed to resurrect a few that were socially distanced and with no audience or very, very small audience. And it was such an incredible feeling. And I think whenever something's taken away from you that you're so in love with and you've devoted your life to, it gives another kind of dimension to it when you get a bit of it back. You know, you realize how much you've missed it. And because it's one thing playing your instrument at home, which I do every single day, I'm either practicing or preparing for something, but it kind of doesn't really mean anything. It means something, but not as much as it should if you're not playing with someone else or to someone else in the moment. And I think it's made us all really take stock of that and how we really cannot take anything for granted. And I think particularly the musicians who mostly play with the Chineke Orchestra, we are people who are very used to not taking things for granted. And I think that's why we're going to come out okay from all of this. We're naturally resilient, we're naturally creative. My creative juices went into overdrive. The minute I'm told I can't do something, I'm always trying to find a way to make that into something that I can do. And so my first reaction was to build collaborations with musicians in other countries. And we did, the first thing that the Chinecki Orchestra did was to perform Samuel Coleridge Taylor's Othello Suite with the Sphinx Symphony Orchestra based out of the USA. And then the Chinecki Juniors did collaborations with the Los Angeles, the Youth Orchestra of Los Angeles that Gustavo Dudamel runs, and also Marin Alsop's Orchestra in Baltimore, the Orchids. And so our juniors have had lots of wonderful sessions on that, as well as, you know, doing their Britain's Got Talent, because they had to learn how to get more digital. They all had to record themselves and film themselves playing their parts, listening to a click track and a guide, watching a guide track, and recording their own tracks individually.
Yes, and for listeners who may, I suspect some listeners will understand, because we all know what the online Zoom kind of experience is, but the one thing that technology hasn't cracked yet is you know, ensemble playing in real time. It's just not possible, is it? The other thing to mention is, you know, we've had the pandemic going on for almost a year, but we've had the whole repercussions of the Black Lives Matter movement. And I wanted to ask in particular whether that had, what kind of importance that has played in your working life.
That's been hugely impactful, because finally, you know, I know that George Floyd's murder has been a catalyst for all of these organizations that have now sprung up out of the woodwork, even Black organizations as well as white organizations wanting to address their lack of diversity. So it's been incredibly active, everything to do with Black lives and inclusion and diversity has been pushed to the forefront of people, of organizations' thoughts and hopefully actions. I'm giving talks and interviews literally on a daily basis. I mean, yesterday I did 3 recorded interviews, for example, one in Vienna, Austria, one in Suffolk, and one for BBC that'll be on today, actually, the Times interview thing called The Ladder, I think it's called. And it's literally on a daily basis. And I'm really, even though it's exhausting, I'm ready to advocate. I can't advocate enough, as far as I'm concerned. You know, it was with Juilliard Pre-College. I gave 2 talks to them last Saturday, and it's Montreal this weekend, and it just goes on and on and on, because everybody is really, they finally can talk about it. They know they can talk about it. It's out in the open. Their organizations need people like myself and all of you other advocates out there to be able to stand up and speak what needs to be said.
Well, I know you've been a very, very powerful advocate over the last year. I mean, one of the ways, obviously, that I'm, it's very visible in the way that you are creating change within classical music, is not only changing who's on stage, who's playing the music, but also what is played. And I know that you've been helping to bring to light a whole range of composers whose work has maybe been overlooked or undervalued, some living, some dead. And I know that some of those are going to feature in your African concert series. When I was just talking with Glenn and Anger, we were, obviously there's a Nigerian theme going on today, and we were talking about the way in which dance is almost innate in everyday culture, and I suppose in the sense, how could it not therefore in some form be reflected in the classical music that emanates from those composers. And I'm probably trying to, I'm thinking obviously perhaps as a segue to the first piece of music, which I think might be the Fela Shoande from his
African Suite. Yeah.
Thank you.
The movement I thought would be wonderful is the last movement. The first movement's wonderful. They're all wonderful. The first movement's called Joyful, but I love the last movement. It's called Akinla. And it's just, you know, I think I played it on my Classic FM program as well, actually. It got so many people excited and they just wanted to hear more of it. And I think it's great when you just play little tidbits, one movement here, one movement there. And, you know, it's my desire, my hope that people will want to go and discover more. This was a wonderful composer who came, you know, a Nigerian composer who came over to England and developed his composition skills and wanted to learn more about the Western style. And this is a wonderful piece written for a string orchestra with a harp.
Thank you. Great to hear that. One of the names that you've brought to great attention in the last 5 years with Chinecke is Samuel Coleridge Taylor. I paused there because I've got two other names that are related in my head, and perhaps we need an explanation for listeners. One obviously is the well-known poet Samuel Taylor Coleridge. And I believe there's a connection between the composer, Samuel Coleridge Taylor, but also on your concert list, you've got works by Coleridge Taylor Perkinson. Please put us out of our confusion.
Chronologically, Samuel Coleridge Taylor was named after the poet, Samuel Taylor Coleridge, and the 20th century Black American composer was named after Samuel Coleridge Taylor, and he was named Coleridge Taylor Perkinson. He died just a couple of years ago.
The importance, I think, of bringing these composers to public attention. What is it that fuels that for you?
I just think we all deserve a broader palette. You know, we've been dished up a sort of quite a one-dimensional menu of repertoire throughout our musical education, through school, through university, through college, conservatoire, in the industry, on the platform, I had only played music by dead white men for most of my 35-year career before creating Chineke. And one or two female composers had snuck in, and one or two contemporary composers, but they were white. And on the realization that there were composers with similar backgrounds to my own, my mind was blown by this. I couldn't believe it. And so when the idea, the penny dropped, and the idea to create Chineke became so apparent, I couldn't wait another second to not do anything about this. And I right from the beginning was committed that every concert we played would include, as well as music from the great canon, we would have music by composers of relative ethnicity that can stand alongside and share a platform with the likes of Beethoven. And on top of that, we opened with Samuel Coleridge Taylor. And I can remember the day before the first concert, we were in the room rehearsing, and I just suddenly got really overwhelmed with emotion as we were all playing this wonderful ballad in A minor. And I looked around the room at everybody, you know, 5 days before, 3 days before, most of us had never even met before. We had never played a note of music together. And there we were playing this glorious music. And it was the earworm that was going round the whole week of that rehearsal, because whatever in the coffee breaks and lunch breaks and things, you would always hear a little bit of the wonderful melody from the Coleridge Taylor, not from Beethoven's Symphony No. 7 or Brahms' Haydn Variations. We were singing the Coleridge Taylor melody, which said a lot to me. I think that because when you do that sort of humming and humming as you're walking along the street, quite often it's completely, you're not conscious of what you're singing. And I realized that this is impactful music. And we were full of mixed emotions that week, that not a single one of us had ever played a piece of this man's music in our entire lives. And the age range of this orchestra went from 16 up to 60. And I was even thinking that on that particular day, that Coleridge Taylor grew up just a couple of miles up the road from where we were rehearsing, and none of us had played his music. And what was so sad was that it was glorious music. Why had we been deprived of this music? And it made us all feel so proud that this was one of us. And it was glorious music. It's been withheld from us throughout our education, but no more. We're all going to do something about, you know, thrusting this music out into the atmosphere. And now people are beginning to pick it up and play it with other orchestras. Job done.
Well, I've got goosebumps. Just hearing you describe that moment for your first concert. I think we should hear some Samuel Coleridge Taylor right away. Thank you. Chidi, it was wonderful to hear that. And of course, I remember hearing that in Chineke's first concert. Who was playing on that recording?
So that was the Royal, so that was the Royal Liverpool Philharmonic Orchestra with Grant Llewellyn conducting. And this is quite an old recording of theirs, actually. And it's to this day the only recording that has that wonderful ballad in A minor. But rest assured, the Chineke recording of the same piece will be coming out very, very soon on Signum Classics. So we just can't wait for that. And it will be with the wonderful Kalina Bovell conducting from Memphis.
And before I forget, I'm just going to remind listeners that there are two Chineke concerts coming up. We've got the Chineke String Duo playing on Sunday the 21st of February. And then we've got the Chineke Ensemble on Sunday the 28th of February. So do make a note in your diaries and listen in. We've probably got time for just one last short piece of music. And I wanted maybe just to touch briefly. We talked about Steal Away, didn't we? And there's a lovely short story with this.
Yes, I've always known Steal Away, and even Sir Michael Tippett included it in one of his pieces. That incredible piece, A Child of Our Time, where he used music from Negro spirituals. And he wrote that piece. He was one of these political British people who really campaigned against the pogroms and, I mean, all the awfulness that was going on to, you know, Jewish people, black people. And this was one of the ways that he expressed and wanted to support. And Steal Away, I made a documentary, a two-part documentary for Radio 4 about 18th century black musicians, composers and performers. And I did one of my interviews, research, actually, I was in Chicago at this incredible Center for Black Music Research. And they took me into this temperature controlled room and took out this little tube, which looked like a little cylinder, and then they popped it into a sort of machine, and then out came this crackly music. And it was one of the very early forms of recording. And it was the Fisk Jubilee Singers. Fisk, that's F for Freddie. I think there was a university, one of the first black only universities in America was Fisk. And the Fisk Jubilee Singers even came to perform in the United Kingdom, and they had an audience with Queen Victoria. She thought she was fascinated by them. And this is where Samuel Coleridge Taylor first came into direct contact with other black people, because he lived in a completely white world with his white mother. He never met his father, who moved back to Sierra Leone while his mother was pregnant. And he was raised by his mother and stepfather. And here he is listening to and seeing the Fisk Jubilee Singers from the USA singing Negro spirituals. And of course, part of what he heard just reached into him and made him, he felt instantly moved by it and understood that he was affected by it, that he belonged, this was his music as well. And in response to that, he wrote this wonderful piano book of and called it 24 Negro Melodies, and it's all based on spirituals. And so I heard this Steal Away, and of course, these spirituals, I more quite recently learned about how they're all coded to do with slaves escaping from their captors, and Steal Away is a clear one. Crossing over into Jordan, going through the river. You know, when you went into the river, when you're trying to run away, the dogs lose your scent and you've got more of a chance of escaping successfully without being mauled by dogs and recaptured. So Steal Away. Well, just complete the story about the spiritual, you know, the reference to Jesus. I mean, I heard that apparently the slave owners used to think, oh, the slaves are happy, they're singing. You know, but the content of the singing, when they would hear the word Jesus, and they've found the Lord, they're singing to you know, that they've become religious, Western religious, and Christianity religious. And when they were referring to Jesus, you know, who we think of, we're told is up there in the sky, in heaven, they were referring to up north in the USA where slavery was abolished. And so these were all the codes which I find are just, you know, go down Moses, you know, going into the river. It's about escape. It's all about escape, escaping to a better land, a better place.
It's hard not to have goosebumps when you listen to that recording. It's those crackles, those voices coming across a century of time, more than a century of time to us today. Chichi, it's been such a pleasure talking to you. I know how busy you are. When I pitch you, I usually think of steam coming off you because you've got so much going on at one time. Thank you for making time to talk to us here on Colourful Radio in preparation for your African concert series. Good luck with everything that's coming up. And is there one final piece of music you'd like to send the listeners away with?
Well, just to sort of vary the styles that we've had, there's that incredible piece of music. It's a Requiem Mass by the Brazilian composer, José Maurício Núñez García. He was a man of the cloth, and he was familiar with classical music. He'd studied in that style a bit, but he had heard Mozart's, he's a contemporary of Mozart. And if we could just hear even just the opening bars of the Dies Irae, I think it's clear that even in the 18th century, and in fact, we found composers preceding this as well, that the Black contribution to classical music was very well and truly alive and kicking.
Chichi, thank you so much. We'll let the music have the last word.